One of the Facebook pages that I subscribe to is Memories of Growing Up in Chicagoland. That was my home, the northwest side, Jefferson Park. And it's a wonderful site. I don't do much on Facebook. Very little, as a matter of fact. I have, I think, 22 friends. But I like to do some historical sites. And so they put up various and sundry different things. You know, most of them are my age. A lot of people are my age. You know, boomers, that sort of thing. And so they post pictures of the neighborhoods that people grow up in and, you know, the schools they went to and pictures of downtown Chicago and that sort of thing. And they do fun things, like somebody posted last week, the kind of penny candy that we ate as kids, you know. The strips with the little dots and the rolled up licorice and the cigarettes that were candy that are evil now. And, you know, the bubblegum cigars and the bullseyes and the stuff that wasn't wrapped, you know, like it was now. But somebody posted a list of the games we used to play. And we lived in neighborhoods in Chicago, of course, and people played, you know, outside at night and in the summertime. And they posted, you know, some of the games that we do in the neighborhood, kick the can, ghost in the graveyard, the statue game, Rover, Red Rover, come over. But the one that caught my eye was red light, green light. So if you don't remember, red light, green light is that game where everybody lines up on a line. And somebody is the person who does the red light, green light thing. And so when you say green light, everybody goes forward. And when you say red light, everybody has to stop. And if somebody's still moving after you say red light, then you got to go back and start all over again. So what is the point of Red Rover and red light, green light? Well, in the gospel this morning, Jesus is clearly giving the 70 has chosen the green light. He is saying, go. He is saying, go into the mission field and share the gospel. Share the good news of the gospel. So remember, last week, the story was Jesus entering the town of the Samaritans. And there he was rejected. And he heads to Jerusalem. And several late followers, as I labeled them last week, come up to him. And they say, you know, Lord, we will follow you wherever you go. And then they make excuses. You know, we have to go bury the dead. We have to go say goodbye to our family. We have to do this. We have to do that. Well, now Jesus has enlisted 70 others. These are not disciples per se. These are 70 that obviously were following him, that he commissions to go forward. Luke is the only gospel that has this account of the 70. All three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have the account of the 12 being sent out, the 12 disciples, who would then become the apostles. Luke is the one, only one, that has this peculiar account of the 70. So we don't really know who the 70 are, but we know that Jesus says, go. The harvest is rich, and we need laborers. So Jesus tells them to go in four different ways. He tells them to go forth with prayer and in prayer. He tells them to go forth with his strength. He tells them to go forth with his peace. And he gives them his authority to go forth to proclaim the gospel to those who they meet along the way. So firstly, prayer. Your day should begin and end in prayer. If the first thing you don't do when you wake up is say, thank God that I woke up and I'm still here, you didn't start your day the right way. If you don't say, thank you, God, for the food that you eat, then you shouldn't be eating it. I'm kidding, sort of. If you don't say your prayers before you go to bed and ask God to give you a restful sleep and hopefully pray that you wake up the next morning, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, mission begins in prayer too. Mission begins with the prayer and the fervent idea that God sends people into the harvest to proclaim the gospel. So he says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. He gives them a share of his ministry. He commissions them. He does not ordain, if you will, them as the disciples, but they share in his ministry. They go forth in prayer to share the message of the gospel, to prepare the way as Jesus was going forward. And they pray that indeed they would be successful in that mission of proclaiming the gospel as well. So the mission begins in prayer. The next is he sends them forth in his strength. But he does so in a rather strange way. He says, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? little lambs in the midst of wolves. I mean, as my wife would say, we love wolves. That's not very encouraging. So what? You're hoping that you go out there and you get eaten up and spit out? No, that's not what it means. He wasn't going to sugarcoat it, though. He wasn't going to say this was going to be an easy task. He was saying, indeed, it was going to be very, very difficult. But remember, elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus said to the disciples, you know, when you are sent forward, you will be given what to say when the time comes. And remember, they're not relying on their own strength, their own ability. They're relying on the strength of the Lord. They're relying on the strength of God himself to go forward. They're relying on that strength which gives them that ability to accomplish the task and go forward and be successful. It was also difficult because he was warning them that you have to go love the people that you're going to encounter as I have loved the world. You can't pick and choose. You know, we like to pick our friends, but you can't always pick and choose who you're going to proclaim the gospel to. And it may mean that you are rejected, he's saying to them. It may mean people don't listen. It may mean people don't hear. It may mean people don't care. Sounds a little bit like 21st century San Diego or the Western culture as it is today. But God nonetheless gives to his disciples that strength to go forward. And then he says, go with the peace of God. He says, whenever you enter a house, say to that house, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace shall rest upon him. And if not, it shall return to you. Whenever I visit somebody in the hospital, or I visit somebody at home, or I visit somebody in another circumstance, I always say, peace be to this place and to all who dwell therein. We know that this is a holy space, but apart from holy space, there's a spiritual world as well. And when we proclaim that sense of peace, we proclaim the sense of God's peace in that presence. And he's saying to his disciples, to those he sends forward, proclaim that peace to them. Give them the message of the gospel. Give them that good news that God allows that peace to be a part of your lives, that God allows that peace, which is the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life, to be a part of who you are. Peace be with you, he said to the disciples. My own peace I leave with you. And lastly, he gives them his authority. And this is important. He says, he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. See the line there? Jesus came from the Father. The Father gives him the authority. Now Jesus is imparting that to the 70 that he sends out. He's saying, go with the boldness of that authority, that boldness of the message of the gospel. Do not be afraid. I am always with you. Do not be afraid. He says, don't worry about success. And you may say, success? What is success? Well, what would a successful St. Andrews look like? A successful St. Andrews is kind of what Easter Sunday looks like, Easter Day, right? The full church, right? That would be success. That's just the fruits of success. The fruits of success would be a full church. Success is when one individual or you hear that message of the kingdom, hear that message of the good news, repent and turn to the Lord. That's success. That happens one individual at a time. I had a pastoral theology professor that said, if in all of your years of preaching and ministry, one person hears the gospel message and that person's life is changed, you have been successful. And then he said, you will fail more than you will succeed. Jesus is not counting numbers. He's not counting average Sunday attendance. He's saying one individual at a time, the kingdom is built. One individual at a time, lives are changed. One individual at a time, repentance is known and the kingdom of God breaks through. So he sends them forth in prayer. He sends them forth in his strength. He sends them forth in his authority. And he sends them forth in his peace. And they come back. And they're all happy. They're all elated, right? We did all these wonderful things. He says, heal the sick, cast out demons. Jesus says, let's not get the big head here. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the mission. It's about God. It's about the good news being proclaimed. And then he says, blessed are you because your names are written in heaven. We are those 70. We are those that God says, go. Go in prayer, go in strength, go in peace, and go with the authority of God to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to proclaim his forgiveness, to proclaim his mercy, and to proclaim his love. Success, one heart, one mind at a time, by God's grace, by God's will. Jesus said, go. The light is flashing. Go, go, go. Go proclaim the message of the gospel. Go in prayer, go in peace, go in strength, and go in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.